Evening, Erev Tov. Today's Amud in Araisa, Yumad Daf Pei Dalin Amud Aleph. Yumad Pei Dalin Amud Aleph. Again, a rather lengthy Amud. It does read pretty smoothly, but maybe we'll speak out a little less because we don't want to dismiss with the later Meir. We don't want to dismiss too late. That's a quickly Chazer Pei Gimel on the base. So first we're discussing that if a person is grabbed by an illness, he's grabbed by an illness of bulimus, where he has to eat food. It comes from hunger, and he has to eat food in order to combat that illness. If the only food available is food that's aser bahana, if food that's aser, generally, I should say food that's aser, halachas he eats machal suris. He's able to eat machal suris in order to remedy himself from this illness, because it could be life threatening. Now, the Gemara discusses that we try to go with the lighter iser, so to speak. So, for example, if the options are a food that is chayev mis b'yishmayim, such as tevel, versus nevel, which is, I don't want to say just a lav, but comparative to misbeh shemayim, it's only a lav. So you eat the nevela and not the tevel. Similarly, if it's a choice of shvius or tevel, eat the shvius and not the tevel. What if it's a choice between tevel and truma, both truma for a non-kayin? Both of those are misbeh shemayim. So we had a machlaikis. We had a Tanakam and a Braisa held that the tevel is preferable to eat. It's more lenient and not the truma. And we had Mandar Mitzvah said that truma is more preferable to eat and not the tevel. And we explained either one has a leniency. Tevel will become mutter. Tevel, you could be batter it for everyone. Al yidei tithing, taking off truma's and maizes. Whereas truma, you can never make truma mutter to zarm. On the flip side, truma right now is already mutter to ganem. Whereas tevel right now is us to everyone. That'll be a chumra of tevel over truma. Those are the two svaras back and forth. We did discuss, the Gemara didn't really fully connect to this. We discussed that the Eilim was mechaven to Rishlam Eges Kasha, which is that you can, by tevel, l'chayra, if you leave this tevel, every bite is usser, the entire amount, all that he's eating is usser. Whereas if he separates truma samayishas, even if he has to eat everything in order to get rid of the bulmus, and therefore he's eating truma as well, okay, but 98% of what he's eating is heter, and 2% is truma. Wouldn't it be better to eat 98% heter and 2% isser, as opposed to all isser we discussed with Shlomeger, actually left as a kasha, why Gemara doesn't bring that into the equation. Okay, and then the Gemara went on to discuss the remedy, in the remedies for this bulmus. It says first person should eat bread, and then, I'm going out of order, but the Gemara itself went out of order. First he eats bread, and then he should follow it up with some sweets, with like honey and some sweets, some other type of food, and then the Gemara got into other remedies that require a person who was let's say bitten by a snake, or you're allowed to call a doctor even outside the tchum, a person who needs to a hen to be torn open, which was killed, which is clearly the tis hasham of halacha Shabbos, you're able to do that in order to save someone's life. And the Gemara says over there that if he has to eat leek, you take leek, you cut off the ground even without taking meiser. Of course, that's not meiser rabbanon. The Gemara discusses whether we prefer to avoid meiser rabbanon or not. That was the conversation over there. And the Gemara made a distinction between not taking chumas and meisras by something which is subject to chumas and meisras, like grains, which in some places is rabbanon, let's say by atzah shein nakav, where in some places by atzah and by some places could be deraisa over there, we'd rather always take trumas and maestros and just be over in the Isra of taking trumas and maestros on Shabbos than eat tevel. But something which is always going to be drabbanon, like a vegetable, we're not so worried about being over on the drabbanon. You don't be over in the Isra of trumas and maestros taking it drabbanon, rather just eat it as tevel. It's viter in the case of drabbanon, that is preferable. Another more went through other scenarios of people being grabbed by bulmus, and back to bulmus again, I'm sorry, and being having eitzah of running to the fig tree, eating from the east side of the fig tree, because that's where the sun shines on the first half of the day. And then, lastly, the Gemara had two stories. One story was Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi, they both had bulmus. Rabbi Yehuda had bulmus on the way outside the shtut, and he stole the lunch of one of the workers out there. And Rabbi said to him, "What are you doing? You're stealing the guy's lunch." But it was puch nefesh, so you have to steal. We referenced a whole sugya, but the Gemara in Bava Kama daf samach, where there's a machlekes Rashi Taisus on that Gemara, it says usul for a person to save himself the mama chaveri. We know the person has to give up his life for big three. A person has to give up his life for puch nefesh for Ritzicha, for Gila Reyes, or for Avodah Zarah. But saving his life with Yana's money, the Gemara seems to say, is not allowed. Taisa says, Avada, if he's going to pay back, it's fine. If he's not going to pay back, it's a problem. If he's going to pay back, it's fine. Rashi seems to say, take it at face value, he can't save life with Yana's money. It could be, not that we like to make a Machalik's Rashi Taisa, Machalik's Beis here, and Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda, what are you doing? They took Yana's food, and Rabbi Yehuda needed it, because Nefesh. Well, fate would have it, when they got back to the city, Rabbi Yehuda was grabbing Bulmas, and all the people of the city brought him food to eat. And Rabbi Yehuda just commented, "I took from one person, you had all the people of the city taking the food." It seems to be more of a comment than a taina. Okay, and then lastly, this interesting story that Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda were all traveling, and they ended up in an inn, and Rabbi Meir used to darshan people's names to see what they're all about. and the name of the innkeeper was Kidar. He asked him what his name is. He said, my name is Kidar. And Rameh said, oh, Kidar Tapucha Zema. They're a dar of opposites. They're not trustworthy. And the pasuk, I can't trust them, these children. They're not behaving properly. Rameh says, I'm not going to leave my wallet with him over Shabbos. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yasi left their wallets, long story short, after Shabbos, the Rameh, after watching his wallet over Shabbos, where he had hidden it, he ended up watching it, and his was protected. But theirs, the innkeeper said, "La dam, I don't know what you're talking about. I never had it." So they were out the money. They took it for drinks. When they took it for drinks, they noticed on his lips, on his mustache, he had some lentils. So they went back, while he was still outside of the house, they went back to the wife and said, "Your husband said to give us the wallets. They store it for us. He said to give it." So she was suspicious, because she knew he steals them. So they said, no, he gave us a simon that... you guys had, for lunch, you had lentils. He gave us, he said, we should, if you don't trust us, he said, we should give this up. She said, oh, it's not true, we had lentils for lunch. And she gave the wallets. He came home, and what did he do to her? He killed his wife for giving back the wallets. And the Gemara says, because of not washing my machreinim, because we wash my machreinim, you clean your fingers, and you clean your mouth. Because of not washing machreinim, a woman got killed, that's this woman, and because of not washing machreinim, the guy was fed chazer. And just the backstory to feeding chazer, we spoke out, that what happened over there was a fellow who was an innkeeper, and he used to feed the Jewish patrons, he would feed them kosher food, and the Gaish patrons, he'd feed them chazer. How can you do business with chazer? You're not allowed to do business with chazer. We spoke out either Shas HaShmad, or Yitaka was a bad guy. He wasn't a perfect guy. It was cheaper. He'd feed chazer to the Gaim, and he was feeding kosher to the Yidden. One guy sat down to have a nice kishmaka meal, didn't wash his hands. So he said, must be he's a guy. And he gave him chazer. So the Yid ate chazer because he didn't do my mishrenim. So because my mishrenim, a Yid ate chazer, and because my mishrenim, the wife was killed. Okay, long chazer was long amen, but let's quickly back to today's amen. You have to go for the two dots on the bottom of Pekim on base. Misha Nashri Kelf Shaita, we said if a crazy dog, a Kelf Shaita, bites someone. So we said in the Mishnah, an Eitzah, we have to, an Eitzah that was given in the Mishnah, that Tanakhama said, it's an Eitzah, but it's not a good Eitzah, is to eat from the liver lobe of the dog, which is not kosher, of course, but to eat it. They used to think it's Remi, but it's not. You can't do it, therefore. And we brought from Rav Nasi Ben Charash, he held it, you could do it. It is a good Eitzah, he held it, you could do it. So the Mar just discusses what is the simanim of a wild of a kelv shaita. Tana Rabbanan, shaita bas always means to us means stupid. Shaita means stupid, but it really just means just messed up. Not it means irregular. It doesn't mean stupid per se. It means irregular. We have a hada shaita by over here it means rabbit. All the descriptions they give is exactly like you were saying. Actually, it means rabbit. That's correct. But the word shaita in general doesn't mean rabbit and it doesn't mean stupid. It just means abnormal. Like you find by hada shaita where the hadas was supposed to be three leaves for every row at the same height. If you have two at one height and one another height, one off by a drop, they call hada shaita. It's just it's not regular. It's abnormal. It's just a term. Okay, but says Gemara. What are the five signs? Tana Rabbanan, Chamisha Devarim Ne'emar B'Kelav Shaita, and these, you know, Chalila should be not something that any of us see in our lives, but we do have, walking around our city, we do have, you know, sometimes more or less, more common, sometimes less common, as everyone knows what I'm talking about, the coyotes, and these are the ones that, if they have any of these simanim, you have to shy away from, especially the ones with the drooling mouth. Let's look at what it says. Piv Basuach, the mouth open, very native, and saliva dripping. The azav sruches and the ears drooping, which they touch to mean that the ears, rashes, they fold over. The ears are very large, doubled over, fold over. Znavim munachayah kesav, and the tail rests on its legs. Malach patzite drachim, it walks on the sides of the road. Yesh aymerim, some say af neivich, it barks vein kalanishma, and his sound voice isn't heard, which seems to be a lot of simanim they have foaming at the mouth of a rabid dog. Mimayhavi, where does it come from? Rav Amar, Marmi's two sources. Rav says nashim kishvanis mishachas bay. The nashim that do kishiv, the women that do, you know, they do sorcery, they play with these dogs. They practice it on these dogs, and that's what caused them to be rabid, to be crazy. Shmuel Amar, Ruach Rosh Erelem, it's a Ruach Rosh, evil spirit that rests on it, which we'll see later. Ruach Rosh, sometimes we say means stam, an evil spirit, and sometimes we say, what does it mean? A shade, like a demon. In our Gemara, clearly, we're going to see later on a few lines from now, the Gemara is going to clearly reference this idea as being a shade. My Bein, Naya, what's the difference between whether it's Ruach Rosh or whether it's a Dinashim de Kishiv? Simple. It could be Nayu. Now, if it is, whether or not, the top of Pedal mouth, the Makatle Bedever Anizrek, to kill it with an arrow, something that's thrown these days, a bullet. Meaning, from a distance, to not get close to it when you kill it, right? If it's an issue of an evil spirit, you don't want to come near it. If it's a shade, you don't want to come near it. If it's a, if it's a, the fact that the woman did some kishuf to it. Okay, kishuf happened to the animal, but as long as you can, if you want to get up close in combat and you're confident you're going to be able to kill it, even if you brush against it, no problem. But if it's a vart of a ruach raf, some sort of evil spirit, and it rushes against you, then chalila, it can affect you as well. Tanya kavas Shmuel. We talk about Baisa that backs up a Shmuel. Kishar gonna say when you kill this mad dog, ain har gonna say ella bedavar nizik. Yitaka only killed with something that's thrown, meaning from a distance. Dechayif be mistakim, because one who rubs against it is in danger. And one who's bitten by it can die. Now, the chayef be mistaken, one who's rubbed by it is in danger. What's the takana? Nishlich mani binaret. He should remove his clothing. If he rubbed against this animal, remove his clothing, which is embarrassing as it may be, strip down, and run away. And taka a story. Rafuna be devshua, chayef be chay binaret v'shuka. Rafuna be devshua, he rubbed against one of these types of rabid dogs in the street. Shalchid l'mani v'rat, he removed his clothing, and he ran. There is a gear, so we're not quoting it. I didn't quote it in any of these past two Gemaras, but there's a gear they bring, Geisabach brings it, that says that you should not stop, take off the clothing. Throw the clothing in front of the dog. It's almost like, I don't know if it's an offering to the spirit. It's gone. It's like you're saying, get the spirit off me. Somehow that's part of it, is throwing the clothing down. Right? You take off the clothing and throw it there. Throw it down or throw it towards the dog. That's the gear that they bring in the Neshtinu Kamai. That's the gears are brought in the Bach. Okay, and that's in what you should do. And in the story that Rav Huna Brei Yeshua did, he was shechin al money and he threw it. Virat and ran away. Amar, and he said, "Kiyat Rasa, b'kai myself, hachachma t'chaya bala. Chachma, having wisdom, if the wisdom gives life to the Bailam, meaning same pasuk we had last time on Pei Gimel Beis with I forgot who it was the one that ran to the fig tree to eat from the fig tree, Rabbi Yechanan. He ran to the fig tree to eat from the fig tree from the eastern side because that's where the sun shined on those figs and those were good for bulmas. So he said the same pasuk, Hachachmat Chayabala, knowing wisdom of knowing what the remedy is or knowing what the solutions are can bring life to the Baal, the owner of this chachma. Dinachas Leimayas, we said if one is bitten by it, will die. But the Mara takes for granted that okay, if it's not treated, but what's the treatment? We already said treatment. If you rubs against it. What's treatment if he's bitten by it? My takante amabaye. Nasi mashka da apa de dikra. He should take from a male polecat. Polecat is described in some places as big as a hyena, other places as small as like a weasel. I said that wrong. A polecat is its own thing. But this apa. Apa is described sometimes as big as a hyena, sometimes as small as like a large weasel. A polecat, I think, is somewhere in between. I think a polecat is somewhere in between those two. Okay, but that's you should take the skin, the hide of such a polecat. We see this is not what we'd call a scientific remedy. This is more of some sort of metaphysical remedy. He takes the hide of it. The nichtav alei, he writes in it, ana plani ba planesa, like we typically do when it comes to refuah. You write, I, the son, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, from the mother. Planesa is the mother. On the skin of this male polecat, I'm writing to you. And what does he write? This like kind of incantation. Kanti, kanti, clarius. Famila, he writes, kanti, kanti, clarius. And then he continues, he writes, ka, ka, Hashem, tzavakais, amen, amen, sela. And what does he do? He takes off the clothing that he's wearing and he buries them. He buries them in a cemetery for 12 months. Waste 12 months passes. Take out the clothing and then burn them in an oven. And he spread their ashes at the precious rachim at the crossroads. And for those 12 months, whenever he drinks water, because he's still more susceptible within 12 months, he is bitten by this rabid dog. He's still, but you can see this rabid dog, it seems like it was affected by a shade. It's pretty clear. Again, we're going with the idea of Shmuel, that it was more of a shade than the kishif of the sorcerers. So these 12 months, he's still more susceptible to demons. He may have the demon inside him to an extent, and therefore, until he's fully cured of this demonic, being possessed, he should not drink directly from the kli. Rather, you should have a copper straw. Copper is lavdavka. Just the point is, you should have a straw. Dilma chazi bavua the shade mustaka. Because if he drinks directly from the kli, he may see a reflection of the shade in himself, but he may see it in the water and become in danger. V'kihadar Abba Bar Masa, who Abba Bar Yemi, Abba Bar Masa, who also is known as Abba Bar Yemi. Questionive is maybe Marsa and Miami. One was the Marsa was the mother was the mother's name, and Miami perhaps was his father's name, or was two different names known that his father had. Okay, either way, or two different names that he was referred to as, of the late Ime Guftadav, his mother made him a golden straw. We see the point again is, it's just to have a straw. Drink from the straw, and not directly from the cleat, so you don't see the reflection, and you don't notice the demon. That could be dangerous, but the straw, he's had gold, we suggest a copper. Copper's more practical, it's cheaper. Either way, that is the eighth. We said the Mishnah Masi said, if someone feels a pain in his throat, that's what we call the tzaftina pain. We're scared that pain can go down to, I mean, I'm going to ahead of myself, the Gemara's going to speak out later, but we spoke on the mission already, the pain may move from his gums, from his mouth, all the way down his body into his intestines, and be life-threatening, and therefore he's not allowed to do the remedy for it. Okay, so Rabbi Yechanan chash b'tzaftina. Rabbi Yechanan was sick with tzaftina, with this illness of the mouth. Azal gabi dahi metrinasa. He went to this noblewoman who apparently knew cures. Avdlay milsecha mishamali b'shabata. So she went to him on Thursday, and she went to him on Friday, and she did the remedy for him and gave it to him, and it was helping. Amalai said to b'shabas mai. When we do Shabbos, unbelievable. Why can't you go on Shabbos? What do you think? Tchum Shabbos. We're full on Shabbos. What do I say? I'm busy giving shir. He's busy giving shir. Shabbos when the ilm came to base medrash shashir. He's busy giving shir. He's not going to miss shir. So that's the freshman of Spain. So amalai b'shabata mai. What should I do on Shabbos? By the way, it's not Rashi. We have the same gemara. The Shakavatayr isn't avodah zarah chavches. I'm quoting you from Rashi, Avodah Zarah Chavches. Okay, but he said to the nobleman, what am I going to do? Meaning, I need you to give me the remedy. So Amalei, don't worry, you won't need a Shabbos. You already had remedy Thursday, Friday, you're good. He's misreading the mind. What if I do need it? What am I going to do? Amalei, he had a bigger plan over here. We'll see shortly. Amalei, Ishtabali, Lemigal. So she said, swear to me, you won't reveal it to anyone because this is my trade secret, right? I have my patent over here. Swear to me, you won't reveal it. So what did he say? Look at the words. Ishtabal Lelekad Yisrael Lemagilna. I swear to the God of Israel, I won't reveal it. Now, it depends where you put the comma. I swear to the God of Israel, comma, that I won't reveal it. It's a beautiful Shua. He's swearing to the God of Israel, he's not going to reveal it. Or, I swear to the God of Israel, I won't reveal it. I won't reveal it to Hashem, but I'll reveal it to others. That was what he did. Says the Gemara, Nafak Darsha, the Pirka, he went out and he taught it in the public, this remedy, Vashtabala, I swore to her. We already gave the answer, the explanation. He did a trick, 100% it was a trick. But to Am Yisrael, he wouldn't megal it. Fine, good answer. Back to actually what you brought before about whether the person is allowed to lie and the ends justify the means. This is in that sugya, again, it's a whole sugya about MS is not exactly what we call truth and lie. MS is much bigger than what we call in English truth. It's what's correct. But the point is, you still have to worry about this element. What happened to Chol Hashem? Chol Hashem to Megala Meikara. The second she told him, he said, "You fell for my trick." He told her. And the first one discussed. There's a whole Yishami on this. Exactly what happened. Yishami says, according to one version, I'll say the first, the positive version. He told her right after. He's like, "I'm telling you that I just did a trick on you, and I'm telling you why I'm doing it because I don't want to make money. I'm not infringing on your trade secret. The world needs to know this remedy. You have a remedy here that you're saving for yourself so you can make a couple of shekels, and people out there are dying. It doesn't make sense. I'm not going to keep money for myself. I'm not profiting." And she was so impressed that he wasn't going to use it to make money, but rather just to help people. Altruistically, even though he tricked her into getting the remedy, she was Megai and became a Yid. That's the positive version of the story. There's a very negative version of the story. The negative version of the story is she was so upset she killed herself. That's the other extreme. It's two different versions of what happened. She was so upset that she killed herself. But in terms of Chol Hashem, he was megalater what his trick was, why he was doing it, and therefore saying that's not Chol Hashem. He was doing it for a proper purpose, proper reason, not for self-serving purposes. Whether she's able to handle or appreciate it or not was her choice, but it wasn't saying that's not an issue of Chol Hashem. It's a very good solution you make, Ira, but you're trying to ask us a question. It's the opposite. You bring a raya. You bring a very good raya. The Gemara about 30, 40 blood ago discussed about the Beis Aftinas. Right? That they knew the trade secrets, right? The ones that knew how to do the Ketairis and the ones that knew the Lechem Panim. And the Mara says they shouldn't be remembered L'Toyiv. They kept it for themselves. The Mara assumed they kept it for bad reasons. The Gemara ultimately comes out with stories that their grandchildren, times of Rekiva, who knew that and said, "I know that's the Malashan, that's the this plant, I know what it is." And you know why we kept it a secret, we're told? Because people would take it and use it for Vaidazara. If we left the secret out, then it wouldn't just be people like us and our family that are only going to use L'Shem Shemayim. And it wasn't just about us using it for lining our pockets. It was also that it shouldn't be used L'Shem Shemayim. And the Gemara says, no longer should they be Zachar. Should they be remembered for Ra, because they have a positive reason. But without the positive reason, Adarab, exactly. Right? That was not a benefit. It was a negative. Okay, very good. Says my Avdalei, what did she do for him? What was the remedy? Nice story. Bottom line, did we get the remedy? And ironically enough, we're going to see we had the remedy, but it seemed not to work. My Avdalei, Amar Bach Abedrav, Ami, Mesar, there's a little Pesach connection in the week of Pesach. Mesar, water of yeast water, shemen with oil, zayis melch, with olive oil, I should say, shemen zayis. So again, Mesar, shemen zayis, umelech, and salt. Rabbi Amar, not Mesar, Sar Gufei. Yeast of itself, and shemen zayis, olive oil, umelech, and salt. Rashi Amar, a whole different eitzah, mishchit d'gadfad avza, the fat of the goose's wing, which Rashi says, we smeared on the temples. Interesting, not not by the issue was by the mouth. The issue is by the gums, the way we understand it. That's what Safina is. But apparently, you spread it on, the way Rashi understands it, on the temple of the victim who has of this the chayla who has Safina, and that was the cure. Amar Baye Anaku of the Kulu. I did all these remedies when I had Safidina. I did these for last day, and I wasn't healed from them. Ach Amali Hautaya, until this Arab merchant told me, Isi Kashias Zay Sulaimal Tilsa, bring pits of olives that haven't grown a third, a clean of manura, amra, achata, and burn them on a fire on top of a new amar achata, a new hoe. For some reason, using this hoe as part of it, burning, maybe it's a nice piece of metal, and you burn these unripe olive pits on top of it, and put these ashes in a row by the teeth, which is where the illness is. And Rabbi says, I did this, but the merchants told me, and I was cured. That was a cure that works. What does Safidna come from? This Safidna illness, it comes from eating very hot wheat, bread, or fried fish that was left overnight. But this kis d'arsa was also fried in its oil, and it was breaded a little bit. It was fish sticks. Yeah, like fish and chips, fish sticks. That type of thing. Yeah, exactly. And what's the simon of this illness? Kadrami midid bekache, when he puts something into his teeth. Va'asi damam beidari, and blood issues from his teeth. I don't know if it's like gingivitis or something, you know, worse than that. But right away, the second he puts something in his mouth, blood issues from his gums. Right, that's the. Right, exactly. So I know I was nervous to even suggest gingivitis in front of those oral experts. But I think it sounds like something like that, right? Is that something that'll be something which would cause bleeding? The dentist can let me know if it's something else. Maybe there's a more serious illness of the gums, right? More over gingivitis, periodontitis, right? Maybe it's that. So maybe that's what it is. Right, and the infection could spread. Exactly. Right, till today, if someone has chlil that illness, they're very serious, especially perio. What do you call it? Perio. Periodontitis. Right. They say that could really spread through the whole body. It's not what we're talking about here. It could spread through the body and kill a person. Okay. Rabbi Yechon kichash b'tzafdina avad hachi b'shabbat v'istayit. Rabbi Yechon, when he had tzafdina, he did this on Shabbos. And he was cured, but the point is, he did on Shabbos. In fact, Rabbi Yechon, hechav rachi, had Rabbi Yechon do this. What's the question? L'chayra, it's a malach Shabbos. Arvach mitzak shani, tzafdina, hoyal b'naskal b'peh, v'gamer b'nei mayim. Starts at the mouth, ends at the stomach. Now for us, we've known that since the Mishnah, we've known that through Al-Gemara, what was the Shakratayah? And Taka, something at the Gersa. Something at this whole Gersa of the story. Of course he would do it on Shabbos. Our Mishnah says it's Kalit to Kalit, and the missionary says it. Kalit to a Kalit to death. It's a Pekuch Nefesh. And therefore you could do it so that some don't have the Gersa, some just have it as just a backup to what we've been learning till now. Okay. Let's go a little further. Come on. So this that you're saying you're able to do this tafidna eitzes remedies, who do you call like you must work a Masa Becharish who says that one who feels pain in the mouth, you can put menace in the mouth of Shabbos, meaning you're following a Masa Becharish's opinion, and this can be the focus from here all the way to the top third of Amma Beis. I don't know if we'll get all the way far because I don't go more than another 3-4 minutes, but let's see where we can go. We're going to have a few different versions of Ramasi Becharish's memories. He has a few statements on top of the ones we have in our Mishnah, and which ones we agree or don't agree to him, that's going to be this discussion. So here, Rabbi says to Rabbi Yechon, you must be going to Masa Becharish, who says that a person has a tzeftina illness, you take care of it even on Shabbos. And we said, it doesn't just mean you put on the medicine, you make the medicine even on Shabbos. Amalei, Rabbi Yechon says, Shani Emre Bazu Vle Becharis. Because Rabbi Yechon says, yeah, I really do, meaning the question was, why are you following Masa Becharish and not following the Chamim? So the answer is, over here, I follow him Vle Becharis, meaning over here, I agree. Let me say it better. Over here, I hold that the Chum agree, the Chum themselves agree with Masa Becharish, they only argue in the other ones. I only follow this for Masa Becharish because only the Chum themselves agree to him. Let me say, let's bring a riot to this. Mishal so Yorkan, a person who is grabbed with jaundice. Machiunas b'sachamari, feed him, of course, not kosher meat, donkey, but he still feeds him because that's the remedy, and otherwise it's life threatening. Mishnah Kalf Shlai, the one who's bitten by a wild dog, you know the Eitzah from Kona Mishnah, Machiunas b'chatzli, Kabit Shlai, you feed him for the liver lobe, Achash b'piv, and one who feels pain in his mouth, Mati Lai, Samashabas, you feed him, Samashabas, Tiver, Masa Becharish, all these of Shitas, Masa Becharish, we had two or three in the Mishnah, we didn't have the one about jaundice, we had the other two in the Mishnah. Tiver, Masa Becharish, Achamayim, Ve'ilu, Amen, Mishnah Mefua, these are not considered foods. Now they said these. It sounds like they're saying some of these. He said three cases, and some of them, those aren't good refuahs. So the Chamo argue on some and not all. Which ones they argue on? What's coming to exclude? My love, Utisam. Ben's coming to say, these are no good, meaning the ones, the first two, the one about jaundice and the one about liver lobe, those were no good. Those weren't good refuahs. But the last one, Be'elu, the first two, It's funny, the Be'elu have things going more like that than the last two. But Be'elu, those first two Rabbi Simchar said, we don't agree with. But the last one, Taka, we agree with. So it's a Raya, Taka, that, like Reich was saying, and the Chum agreed Rabbi Simchar, the Gabi, the Tzaftina, and the putting Sam on the teeth. Loi, Lemute Makizan, Dam Lesurchani. There's another case we haven't discussed yet, and that is letting blood to a person who has Serenchi, they teach as Quincy. It's kind of like an abscess in the throat. It's similar to, it's not mamish tonsillitis, but it's an abscess near the tonsils, which by letting blood, it relieves that pain. So Masa Bechar says, you'll have to do that on Shabbos, and the Chum over there, we're not sure if they agree to that or not. That's the case we're saying, no, that's what they agree to, but these other cases we listed, the Chum disagree with Masa Bechar. So they agree to the case of Quincy, but not the other case. The Mark says, Hachan Mestavis, Hachan Mestavis, Tanya, Shashim Ramam, Rab Shimam, Rab Basi, Shishama, Mepi, Rab Mishim, Rab Masa Bechar. Three things, and a lot of most of that Rishmar Basi heard in the name of Masa Bechoresh. What are they? Makiz Nam Lasur Chani B'Shabbos. That's the new one. That you can let blood for Quincy and Shabbos. The one who's bitten by a wild dog, by a rabid dog. You can feed him from the Chatzar Kaved, from the liver lobe. One who has illness of the mouth, Tziftina, Matiloy Sam B'Shabbos. Those are three members again, but we swapped out. The first one is not a member of jaundice, it's a member of Quincy. The Chamayimrim Be'elu Ein B'Shem B'Fuah. These don't ever fool, but elu mutim mai, my love of food to tata bas raisa, my love of tata bas raisa, lumutim bas raisa. These last two don't ever fool, so he's talking about arguing by Kelev Sheita and by Tzeftina, but agreeing to Serenchi, to the Quincy Eitzah. And that's not like Rabbi Yechonon, the Mar says, Loi, atat the raisa, kamaisa, lumutim seifa. The Chumim are agreeing to the first two, to the they're arguing the first two. They're arguing the Serenchi, they're arguing the Quincy Eitzah, they're arguing the Kelev Sheita on the liver lobe Eitzah, but they're agreeing to Tzeftina like Rabbi Yechon held. That's the most defending of that. Rabbi Yechon top of base Tashma. I don't want to run to be to, you know, it's four more lines. It's six more lines. It goes quickly. Let's go through it. I apologize. Tashma Tani about Rabbi Shmuel Uber Sherechon Uber. We had this gemara a couple of days ago, but this idea, there's a brisa, an ubra, a pregnant woman that smells food and gets a craving for it. You give her until she's, you give her from what the food is, kosher or not, until she's relieved. Back to our cases, one is bitten by a dog, that's a rabid dog, you feed it from the liver lobe, one who has the sephidina illness, all this, of course, you know the author's going to be, again. Now he says, Bazu, we agree with this ruling, but not the other ones. Bazu ahai, which one they going on? Ilema Ubra, it's going on the case of Ubra Pshit, that's a Mishnah. Ubra Mikla Madam Delay. Does anyone disagree by the case of Ubra where it's Puk Nefesh, they don't feed her? Everyone agrees to that. Elalav Asam. It's going on Sam, and we're saying the Chum agree by Sam, Shema Minat Zerai Taka, like Rabbi Yechon was saying, that the Chum agreed with Masa Becharish when it comes to Sam for Tzeftina. Ramashi Amar, another Riot that this is a good conclusion, and Rebbechon was correct. Masis Namideka Mishnah Meduyik. Why? We sent an arm our Mishnah two days ago. If a person chayish b'piv, you give him sam on Shabbos. Philippi Garbanalei, they're about to argue with here. They're about to argue the first part of the Mishnah and now this part of the Mishnah. The Misla, the Philippi Garbanalei, if they argue there in that case as well, they argue by the kelev sheita that bit that the liver lobe is not an eitzah. I don't know if they didn't argue. If they argue on both, they're vinu v'lisinu. Lump it together. They'll figure out what I'm saying. Rabbanan, let the Rabbanan say b'seifa. We don't agree to either of these remedies. Shema mina must be. The Rabbanan agree to the eitzah of the tzaftina to feed him to whatever the eitzah that Rabbi Yechon did to rub medicine on the gums of Shabbos is allowed because it's puch nefesh and you can do that on Shabbos and it's a viable refuah.